The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
Let's open the Holy Scripture this morning and turn to Romans chapter 5. Last time we celebrated Holy Communion, we considered the 10th verse of the chapter. So this morning, we move into verse 11. Verse 11 will be the text, which we will not reread. And let's read now together the first 11 verses of Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Thus far we read the divinely inspired, infallible, sacred Scripture. May God bless the reading of it to our hearts. The text is Romans 5, verse 11. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, this table before us this morning is a table of joy, of deep spiritual joy. There's nothing that rejoices the heart of the believer like the knowledge of God's love for him. And if that is true, then what causes the believer to rejoice as his participating in Holy Communion? To participate in Holy Communion is to enter into one of the most intimate experiences of the covenantal love of God, to participate not merely outwardly in the body or out of custom or superstition, but by faith. God loves us. God loves us so much he chose us from eternity. And like a father, he pities us in our sins and gave the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, to die for our sins. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he draws us and our fellow believers together into his house this morning. And he declares unto us, beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he speaks to us the word of the gospel of love. And in addition to that, he assures us of his hearty love for us in the sacrament of Holy Communion. God loves us, and that's what we need to know in all of the burdens and afflictions and struggles of life, but particularly in the unrelenting battle against sin. You and I need to know that God loves us. And when we take that bread and that cup and believe that as surely as we eat that bread and drink that cup, that Jesus Christ broke his body and shed his blood for us, we have the assurance of God's great love for us. And when your heart is assured of God's love for you, your heart is lifted up unto God in rapturous joy and delight. And when the minister reads from the form later in the service, you say with the rest of God's people in your heart, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." The inspired apostle Paul begins his epistle to the Roman Christians by addressing them as the beloved of God. And then he goes on to give a masterful demonstration and explanation of the love of God in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, where we have our justification, that is to say, where we have our righteousness with God. And included in that righteousness then is a right to all of the saving blessings of God, including those blessings that are highlighted here by the inspired apostle in Romans 5, verses 1 through 11. And included is joy, our joy in God. Romans 5, verse 11, and not only so, but we also, we who gather around this table this morning, we who are here for worship, we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's consider that inspired word of God to us this morning, Romans 5, verse 11, under the theme, our joy in God. First of all, the idea of this. Second, the mediation for this. And third, the significance of this. God, and not only so, but we also joy in God. Beloved, young and old alike, through our knowledge of the Bible, we must look all the way up into the highest heavens this morning and fix our mind of faith upon the object of our joy, which is, who is God. Let us not take our mind and fix it upon some sinful practice, though it may feel very good to the flesh. And let us not fix our mind upon ourselves and what we have accomplished, or upon some of the good and legitimate earthly things of this life, like food and alcohol and money and a new home, or some of the experiences that are very exciting, like going on a vacation. And let's not even fix our attention upon some of the wonderful experiences that we enjoy in the church, like the birth and baptism of a newborn baby or a wedding. And let's not fix our mind even upon our tribulations. Though it's true, verses 3 through 5, we glory in our tribulations because we know the Lord works them for our good. And let us not even fix our mind upon the hope that we have of the glory of God. Though it's true, verse 2, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. In fact, let us not even right now fix our mind on the great wonder that is our salvation and all of the particular benefits of salvation, and upon our justification in the cross of Christ with its accompanying peace, verse 1. But let's take the mind of faith and by the power of the Spirit look all the way up into the highest heavens and fix our mind upon God. We also joy in God, a being, an infinite being, an eternal being who is awesome in character, who is three in persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and to whom nothing on this earth and nothing in heaven can be compared. Our God, a great God of matchless power who brought into existence the entirety of this universe and who upholds and governs all the kingdoms of the earth, including the Rome of Paul's day. He's the great God of glory who commands that all of the creatures He made, let everything that hath breath praise Him as creator. He's the God of righteousness who reveals His wrath from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who will not bow down before Him. And He's the God of strict justice who will stop every mouth of every sinner before His law. But He's also our God. He's the God of the everlasting covenant of grace. He's the God of love who built a congregation in the city of Rome and who has built a congregation of saints here in Redlands. He's the God who reveals Himself to us in the Son of His love, our Lord Jesus Christ. The God who speaks to us His gospel of love, and the God who declares to us believers this morning that though we are unworthy sinners, and we know that, I see you in the Son of my love, Jesus Christ, and I find no fault in you. Our God, the God who loves us, He is God. He's not a creature, He is the Creator. He's not a gift of salvation, He is the Savior. He's not a good experience or a good thing. He is the overflowing fountain of all good from whom every blessing flows. He is our God. And not only so, but we also joy in God. We joy in God. Joy is the experience, the pleasurable experience of the soul that is lifted up unto God in the contemplation of all that He is as our God. The word joy can also mean rejoice, is translated that way. Same word in verse 2. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It can also mean to boast in or to glory in. Same word is found in verse 3, where we read that we glory in tribulation. This joy is not static. This joy is not a passive state. It's an ongoing experience and activity of the soul. Consciously, we rejoice in God. We exalt in God. We glory in God. We boast in God. Our soul finds all of its delight in God. We say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." With rapturous confession, we exclaim, "There is none like our God." You've said that. I say that. There is none like my God. God of greatness and glory, God of everlasting love for me in Jesus Christ, none like my God. We take music, and in the great joy of our hearts, we join our voices and hearts together, and we sing, "Praise the Lord, ye lands, nations." We have a word, a command to the nations, all the nations round about. Nations, clap your hands. Shout aloud to God. Spread His fame abroad. Praise Him loud. Praise Him long. Praise Him with a triumph song. Bow as ye draw nigh, for the Lord Most High. Terrible is He in His dignity, and His kingdom's girth circles all the earth. And this Most High God, He is our helper. We joy in God. We do. We also joy in God. There is a growing throng of believers who are receiving the realization of their hope. They rejoiced in hope of the glory of God, and they are taken into heaven and receive the expectation, the glory of God, and they joy in God in heaven, but so do we here this morning on this earth. We joy in God. And we are surrounded by many ungodly unbelievers, as were the saints in Rome. There were a million hearts and voices that did not love God and hated God and cursed and denied God. And there are a million voices and hearts surrounding us that hate the Lord our God. But as we are here right now in this house of worship, we joy in God. As we are assembled here together and our mind of faith is fixed upon our great God in heaven, we need to see between us here and our God in heaven, our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, because this profound experience of joy in God comes through the mediation of our Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle teaches this when he states, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." The sinner who is outside of the Lord Jesus Christ has no joy and cannot have joy. We joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, the Lord Jesus Christ is the revelation of God to us. Apart from faith in the mediator, Jesus Christ, all we know of God is what we know by the bare light of nature. And what we know through the bare light of nature is that God is a God of wrath who reveals His wrath from heaven against sinners. And there's no joy, there's no rejoicing in a God of wrath who is angry with us because of our sins. Those who are outside of Jesus Christ are miserable. But God reveals Himself to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. He opens up His heart of love towards us. He reveals Himself in the person of our Lord who bought us with His blood. In the person of our Lord Jesus who shall save us from our sins. In the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was ordained and anointed by God the Father to be our mediator. He reveals Himself to us in the work, particularly the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God of our salvation. And this morning He reveals Himself to us in Christ as He is presented to us in the pictures of the table of Holy Communion, so that we know God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we joy in our God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ is not only the revelation of God, He is our way of approach unto and way of access into all of the pleasures that are at God's right hand. True joy is in God. But if I try to approach God as a sinner, if I try to approach Him on the basis of my works, even if I come before Him with praise because I want to boast in Him, if I come before Him with a desire to enter into the joy of His covenant and I come apart from, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, God will say no. He will deny me, a sinner. We joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle is giving a very high and exclusive place to our Lord Jesus Christ. For the apostle is teaching that even the subjective experience of our salvation is through the mediation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ not only accomplishes our salvation, and our Lord Jesus Christ is not only one who brings us into the state of grace, but our subjective, conscious experience of this salvation and this state of grace is always through our Lord Jesus Christ, that is, by faith in the mediator, our Lord Jesus Christ. If your heart has a joy that does not come through our Lord Jesus Christ, then whatever that joy is, it's not a joy in God. We joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. joy in God can only be through our Lord Jesus Christ, because as the apostle goes on to teach, it is by our Lord Jesus Christ that we have now received the atonement. The word atonement is actually reconciliation, and is translated that way earlier in the context. This translation, atonement, and there is no other time in the New Testament of the King James where you will find the word atonement. It appears once in the New Testament. Here, atonement. And the King James is using the English atonement to emphasize the basis for reconciliation, which is the atonement. Reconciliation is the work of Christ to bring us into the favor of God. And the atonement is the sacrificial death of Christ on the cross for the canceling of our debts. Reconciliation is effected by the atonement. Reconciliation with God is based upon, is grounded in the atonement. We have received this atonement. We did not accomplish it. We did not accomplish the reconciliation. The apostle says we have received it. We receive it by faith. Now, he says, back in chapter 4, he makes mention of Abraham and David, who had a sure pledge of the atonement that was to come. But for them, the atonement, the reconciliation, was not an accomplished historical reality. But for us who live now in the new dispensation, we now receive the atonement. And as we are believing right now this morning, now we receive the atonement and reconciliation on the basis of that atonement. And reconciliation changes everything. We know that even from a human perspective, when two people are living in enmity, reconciliation changes everything. It's so beautiful. They were enemies. Now they are friends. We were the enemies of God. We hated Him. But through the reconciliation accomplished by Christ, we are the blessed friends of God. Reconciliation on the basis of the atonement. Now we go back to the main point. Why is the mediation of Christ absolutely necessary for joy in God? Why is it impossible to experience the joy of salvation apart from Jesus Christ? Because Jesus Christ is the only one who can get us through the iron gate of God's justice that says, "Stay away, sinner." He accomplished the atonement. He accomplished the reconciliation. Christ alone is the way of approach unto and the way of access into the experiencing of the joy of the covenant. We joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. If you say this morning, that joy you described, that thrill of the soul in God, I've never experienced it. Then the Apostle Paul says to you, that is because you do not believe in Jesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul would say, I will pray for you that God will give you the precious gift of faith. And if you say this morning, I have experienced joy in God, but it's not consistent. Sometimes I'm on the mountain of joy, and other times I'm in the dark valley of darkness and sorrow. And you know what? Of late, I would say my soul has been more downcast than it has been rejoicing in God. Then the Apostle Paul says to you, I know exactly what you're talking about, because that's my experience. And that's the experience of every believer. Though we have the inextinguishable principle of joy in God, everlasting joy in our hearts, we don't always consciously live in the experience of that joy. And that's because we do not always live conscious of Christ. We do not always consciously rest upon and trust in and embrace Jesus Christ. You need to know Christ, and you need to hear the gospel of Christ, and you need to open up the scriptures of Christ and consciously embrace and lay your hands upon Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's in the contemplation of Christ that the soul is lifted up in the pleasurable experience of joy in God and the experience of the pleasures that are at His right hand. And if you say, this joy, I do experience it, I am experiencing it right now and in singing the songs of Zion. And the apostle says, that's because you've been engrafted into Christ and you are consciously exercising your faith, believing in, knowing, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. We joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, is there anyone so precious to you as Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, whose table this is? Beloved, the significance of this joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ is that it is the climactic experience of the justified believer in God's covenant. In verses 12 and following, the Apostle Paul will make a comparison between Adam and Jesus as heads. But before that, in Romans 5, verses 1 through 11, he will highlight the benefits of justification by faith alone, beginning in verse 1, with peace with God. And he continues in these first 11 verses, enumerating these blessings and these benefits until he comes to verses 9 and 10. And he speaks of that hope that we have with respect to the future day of wrath, the day of judgment. He says it once, and then he says it again. We shall be saved. Verse 9. Again, we shall be saved. Verse 10. We don't have to be afraid of the future day of wrath, the day of judgment, worried that we will lose our justification. We are justified now, and we have peace with God, and we shall be justified with God, and we shall have peace with God. And not only so, Romans 5, verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God. We not only experience peace and peace now and peace into all eternity, but we also experience joy. We not only have freedom from condemnation and the wrath of God and escape from hell, and we not only have protection in God and security in God and safety in God and peace with God, but we have joy in God as we look at this great God in the face of Jesus Christ, and thrill fills our inmost being as we exclaim, this God is my God forever and ever. We exalt in Him and boast in Him. We rejoice in Him. In Romans 5, verses 1 through 11, the apostle is only 11 verses, he's quickly sweeping us up along the mountain of salvation by grace. And in verse 11, he sweeps us up to the very summit, the peak of the mountain of salvation. Joy in God. This is the climactic experience in God's covenant. There's nothing beyond it. This is God's purpose for us with all of history, and God's purpose for us in all of creation. This is God's purpose when He made a human being out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life as a thinking, willing, moving, rational, moral human being who could know Him. This is what God was aiming at. That we would joy in Him, rejoice in Him, boast in Him, exalt in Him through our Lord Jesus Christ, today and now on this earth and forever and ever into all eternity. This is the ultimate, the climactic experience of the covenant, the highest experience of heaven. It's not escaping hell and judgment and this wicked world and Satan and demons and aches and pains and diseases and poverty and our own sin and all of the consequences of sin, but it's being delivered out of this earth and from all evil and unto God in heaven to have peace with God and with peace, joy in Him, to know God and to enjoy Him by joying in Him forever. That's it. That's the covenant. That's life with God. And we have it. We have joy in God. I do. You do. As we come to this table, we will have joy. And forever and ever. And when we get to heaven, our joy will never be mitigated by our own sin and sinfulness. We will have abounding, perfect joy in God forever and ever. Now let us come to the table of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is a table of joy. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray now that Thy Holy Spirit will work mightily through this word and give to us the experience of joy. If there's anyone here who may even doubt that it's possible that their heart be filled with joy, Thou art a God for whom nothing is impossible. Give to Thy people joy. And if there are any in our body who are not here, who do not even want to be here, who do not have any joy in Thee, O great God of salvation, we pray that Thou wilt restore them, give them faith in Jesus, give them the joy of salvation, and bring them into our fellowship. For the praise of Thy glorious grace. And now bless us as we come to celebrate Holy Communion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.